Hartke, Hodson,
here.
Sutton,
here.
Banks, Emmanuel,
here.
Anderson,
here. We have a quorum. Next item is approval of agenda. Is there a motion?
I move.
Kathy moves. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Mary, all those
Thank
in,
you.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Move on now to the approval of the minutes of January 8th, 2018. Do we have a motion?
I move to approval.
Mary moves.
Second.
2 seconds. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the item? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right. Next item is public participation. Do we have any members of the public who would like to speak for the board?
It just cleared his voice.
Well, I met with the Cisco rep. Turned out to be a pleasant and knowledgeable young man. And
he's local, too, right?
Well, I guess you call Villa Grove local. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the same time zone.
Yeah, it's in another county, though. You know, he explained that Cisco is not a manufacturing company or a packaging company. Their distribution and their goal is to buy low and sell high. And about everything that they procure for this institution is procured overseas. And country of origin doesn't really fit their game plan. And, you know, profit's their motive, and it is what it is, and so that's about what I expected. And that's what I got. He was pleasant about it, but, you know, it's typical for what I thought it was going to be. Just a nicer person. You know, like Mary Poppins said, make sure you eat medicine, eat, you can go down, eat.
Spoonful of sugar.
But even your exam gloves are coming out of China. I don't think that makes any difference. So. And they're from Cisco. That's about all I have. I mean, I'm having some difficulties with the rehab department about a new wheelchair that didn't come as advertised with all the hardware and doesn't fit. It's a problem. Been a problem for about 3 weeks. We need to fix it. We need to fix it now. And if it can't be fixed, well, take it back and just get the old one. Because
I'll check with them tomorrow.
Huh?
I'll check with them tomorrow.
I could put pillows in the old one and make it fit. It didn't fit either. The chair that she fitted in for 3 years just disappeared. And although there's still a piece of it in our room. So this chair has been an issue that's been going on, and we need to resolve that.
Dave, you dropped something before I forget.
All right.
Do we have any other public participation?
I'm glad to see that the meeting time moved.
Me too.
Yes. It's a great idea.
That means I only have to drive up one time on meeting days instead of two.
That's good.
Good.
All right. If there's no other public participation, we'll move on to communications. The communications board members. All right.
Wait. So two things. We want to make sure we mention the art fair again.
Yes.
February 25th, we're going to be asking advisory board members to come volunteer. We have right now 18, I think, artists who are going to be there participating, plus three different forms of entertainment. It's honestly turned out to be a pretty nice event. 1 to 5 on the 25th, and everybody's going to be asked to spend some time there. And then I just wanted to acknowledge I got from Community Foundation because we implemented this Above and Beyond program some time ago to let people, residents and family members recognize staff that they thought went above and beyond. I got one in the mail from the foundation, and I'd just like to read it, share it. It's from a visitor who was visiting a resident who identified a nurse, first initial G, last name Duma, said, "I was visiting a resident during dinner hour and this nurse observed a resident who needed feeding. He sat down and fed this resident his entire meal. He was extremely kind and pleasant throughout the meal and even stopped to assist other residents. Tremendous job, deserving recognition." Nice to see. I'll turn it over to you guys so that we can do the rest of what we didn't talk about, how we want to recognize that.
Thank you for sharing that. All those people read those in the minutes. Accolades for the employees here. No doubt they do a great job.
Yeah.
All right, no other communications. Move on to the management update for December financials.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So census continues to slowly build up. 137, the average census, similar to the last few months. Net revenue, also somewhat similar, 973. Revenue, about 229 per patient day. Operating expenses, a little bit lower. Significantly improved by dropping $22.55 per patient day compared to the prior month's payroll is now getting stabilized. So net operating income prior to one-time expense is consistent with the prior month, very similar. We had a bunch of one-time operating expenses, payroll reflecting retroactive pay increases in the month of December. That was according to the union contract. Semi-annual fees to leading age, which was $14,000. Generator inspection, which was $3,000. Thompson Electric, which was another $6,000. Annual maintenance invoice from the county, which was $20,434, which was paid back. Annual building construction invoice from the county, which was another $39,000. So all in all, it was a one-time hit of about $117,000. So the net operating income, including the one-time expense, was negative $189,000. But again, it would have been less. It would have been an improved net operating income without the one-time expense. Non-operating income, the same as last month. Net income loss, negative $89,000, again, representing the one-time charges of the amount of $111,000. It would have been a positive number, again. And operating expense detail, administration, the dues for the leading edge, otherwise $18,000. An overall reduction to various categories, and environmental services are down significantly, lower in combined utilities based on actual invoices. Maintenance expenses are $75,000 higher due to $69,000 of a one-time expense, maintenance and construction from the county, Thompson Electric, and Cummins. Nursing expenses are down back to the prior month average, and dietary expenses include several coffee invoices from prior months, so we're reviewing why that wasn't put in the month by month. So the expenses are overall pretty similar and also going down. So for the most part, December was a similar month to the prior month, other than the one-time expenses.
Leading Edge, is that the professional association?
Yes.
Yeah. The not-for-profit.
It's yeah, not-for-profit, yeah. Professional. And they changed the name a number of years ago. But anyway, I'm just kind of curious why, under the circumstances of what our budget is, why you feel it's necessary that we still belong. Because I feel as though with SAK's expertise that your association brings to us. That's the, you know, the information that we, and guidance that we would have typically gotten from the professional association in the past. But, you know, perhaps we're getting insurance or something through them or some other benefit that I'm unaware of. So
there's a lot of benefits when you belong to an association, and it's not just, you know, professional, which is what we, you know, bring to the table because we're the managers, but you get a lot of updates on the national scene, you get a lot of reimbursement updates, you get a lot of different things, and individually they usually do things together. To be honest with you, I'm not sure, and I need to check why we are still involved in Leading Age. I'm not sure. I would analyze whether Leading Age is the proper association for mm-hmm. us even to be involved in.
Good question.
Although it is a not-for-profit,
right.
The facility is a not-for-profit, and it appears that maybe the administrator went ahead and submitted those. And
it was the first invoice since we stepped in, so mm-hmm. we're not aware.
Yeah, no, yeah. I understand.
So,
but you know, you mentioned that this is paid semi-annually, so yeah. It might be something that.
It could have been
not that
prior.
You would never want
right.
to belong, but you know,
it sounds to me like it was owed.
It might be something that
right.
you could do without.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it was owed.
The
I will tell you, yeah, the second half of something. So I think that's why we let it go through. So going forward, there are other associations though that are really helpful.
Your other homes, what association?
Everybody, every one of our homes belong to it. We belong to HCCI, mm-hmm. which is a healthcare. It's also political, and what it does is it's
lobbying.
Huge lobbying mm-hmm. efforts. And usually that's what Leading Age should do too.
Yeah,
but it's more of a national organization. So going forward, you know, we're probably not going to pay that for Leading Edge.
How do the dues compare?
I don't know. I have to see. They're all pretty similar. Yeah. So, but this was something that was owed
mm-hmm.
prior. So I think that we'll going forward now. I think we'll be a little bit more.
I'm not saying it's not beneficial, but you know, if you have to cut corners, it seems to me that. Might be a place where one could cut.
Yeah. We'll take a look and see.
Just a question or comment. I noticed that the average daily census for Medicare was at kind of a high in December. I mean, October,
right.
November, December were all pretty high, pretty close, but with double what it was when you took over in July. Yeah, are we still at that? Oh, I'm looking at page 9.
Yeah.
And it shows the...
Yeah, so usually over the holidays, we usually get a little bit of a bump, you
right.
know, because people, nobody wants to do elective surgeries. You know, during those last 2 weeks, there's usually kind of a shutdown for everything. So your census usually dips then.
Right.
But usually in January and February, that's when it usually goes up. But, you know, again... there's a lot of publicity out there, you know, going on about the home.
But
so I don't know.
Your Medicare was high in December. It was good.
Yeah.
And
so
I just wondered if it still is, if you saw that continue in January.
I'm not sure it's at the same level.
Okay.
I think that we're lower. I think all of this was prior to all the announcements and stuff because we were hoping that we were going to be able
January,
to push
right.
envelope for a few months on this to be able to keep those numbers up. So I think that it did go down in January.
Okay.
So we were on a good roll.
Why are we continuing to, based upon this, into December, see an increase in Medicaid pending?
So there's a lot of admissions that are Medicare, that start out as Medicare. And then sometimes they end up becoming Medicaid pending. So they initially get admitted and they convert over after that. So those are sometimes the new ones. The only new ones that we've actually approved for the facility is people that had Medicaid in the community that already had it through another form of Medicaid, and then that's the word came out actually last month that there is going to be a faster track for those admissions to become approved than other Medicaid pendings. So we were allowing those anyway because we knew those were going to be faster track, but it came out as a written notice too. So that could be, and I don't know. For
I haven't seen any movement on that.
Yeah, but those are usually, that's usually what they are.
I was doing some math earlier today. If I remember right, based on page 9, our Medicaid and Medicaid pending combined, or you budget for 75. And we've been averaging, I think, 71.2 or 8. Bottom line is,
I don't know the exact.
It's a little less than what you're budgeting for, which is actually a positive on the revenue side, as long as you're making it up with other things. So we're averaging here at the home about 71% Medicaid. Just thought it was an interesting figure. I hadn't seen it in a while because I'm looking at the revenue stream.
Right.
And the revenue stream, as a percentage for Medicaid, is 50% of your income. Mm-hmm. But yet it's 71% of your census. So there's a difference, and that's, of course, we know why. That's because of the payer difference.
Right.
That's why we see the numbers.
Right, right.
Anyway,
and most facilities, a lot of them, are 80%, at least Medicaid 80%, because that's a lot of mostly Medicaid facilities run at least 80. So it's not a bad thing that we have what we have. It's actually pretty good. Our payer mix is pretty good.
Okay. Any other comments on the financial?
Well, I have a question. You had shared the sort of financial information that was shared with the county board. You sent it around to the advisory board about the cash shortfall. And so that was last week. I don't know where we stand. It was just Friday.
I was Chair Pius's, or Weibel's.
Right. So I guess I would ask management to talk a little bit about what additional factors that might be creating it now and what you think you can do to address it.
Yeah, it's really, we're going to say it over and over, it's all timing. This is the state of Illinois, they're timing issues. The financials, again, are pretty strong based on the fact that, you know, since we've come in, there's been a good upward trend, you know. This is any Medicaid facility, any facility that is in the state of Illinois that has to rely on any kind of government funding. You know, we never know when we're going to get paid. We never know when the state is going to release a check. We don't know when Molina is going to hold on to their money and when they're going to get paid, because they don't get paid. They don't pay us unless they get paid. So we're all waiting in the same boat. So the advance was, again, a result of just a timing issue. Not that it's operating any less or any different than what it normally operates. If you want, you can go into some kind of explanation. Different?
No,
is that just
pretty much online. I initiated the conversation with John Farney anticipating the shortfall. Because of the short window when the PO has to be funded, was when we were anticipating cash. And it was repaid back in a week.
Yeah, we paid it. The advance was paid
as
back.
As of today, we had $186 in the bank after we repaid the loan. $196,000.
And also, like the beginning of each month, we anticipate Social Security to come in on the 3rd of every month. So, you know, we could turn payrolls around based on when we know we're going to get paid that, we would not have those types of issues.
So you paid back the county, but we'll need to use some funds to make the February 16th payroll, right?
will know for sure on Wednesday.
You don't know yet, yeah.
Because now,
we don't know.
Yeah.
Here's the situation
yeah.
we're in. Melina issued the payment to the nursing home last Monday on the 5th. But they still pay by paper check because the county's office didn't do the paperwork to get the EFT. So we are not sure if we're going to get the paper check by Wednesday or not.
But if you got it, then you would be okay on payroll?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. That's really
no,
my question.
We're spending $130,000.
So
the billing was done timely.
Right.
They paid timely. We follow up with Melina, but we can't.
If we didn't have to rely on a paper check, which we've tried to not do, we want to do an EFT, we would have had the money already.
Okay.
So that's an issue that the county's got to decide. Do they want to work and go for the EFT? Because at some point we brought this to them, and I think there was an issue. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was an issue that we couldn't go to the EFT. I don't remember what it was. But if we could just go do an EFT, to apply to get
electronic
the EFT.
Electronic funds transfer, yeah.
We used half cash last Tuesday.
Okay.
Does that have something to do with the county's firewall, or?
Mm-hmm. I forgot. I don't know. There was an issue that came up. I don't know. We have to ask them. I don't know, maybe Pius would know.
It's either. So the treasurer gets all the money, so it's from something in the treasurer's office.
Any other questions? All right, not hearing any. I'll move on to chair's report. I just have two items. The first is I'm still working on the fourth quarter report to be presented to the county board. It will be presented at the full board meeting later this month. I should hopefully have it done by the end of this week. And I hope to have something out to these members by email within the next day or two. I'm talking to the auditor today and trying to get some information to try to finalize it. I would have brought some of the stuff with me, but I forgot everything at all. So the other item is compensation for the advisory board members. That's us. If you're not familiar, and I think you are, in December we had a unanimous vote to suggest to the county board that we forego the stipend that we receive historically for attending these meetings. That went over, was placed on the agenda, addressed at the COW, and voted later on at the full board. It was approved with the exception. I made argument that it should not include the mileage reimbursement. And I use myself as an example. While I certainly don't mind volunteering my time to my community, I live 17 miles from here. And the reimbursement for me to come here on mileage is about $17 or something like that. And when I added that up over the 4 years I'm serving on this county board, serving on this board, if I come every month, it's over $800. Now, it would be out of my pocket if I didn't get reimbursed on the mileage. And I thought, while I might be able to handle that, others who may be considering serving on this board in the future from the outlying areas may consider that as a reason not to participate with this board because it would cost them money to volunteer their time. So the majority of the board agreed with that, so they kept the mileage reimbursement for all the board members here, but not the. But it did approve the rescinding of the stipend, so that makes sense. Next meeting, Monday, March 12th, 6:30 p.m. here. And if there's nothing else, I move that we adjourn. Thank you for being here tonight.
Jeez, anything you want to say about the star ratings? We didn't say anything about that.